trying to understand the health of a forest is no small task. Our next guest has been using multiple monitoring systems throughout the pandemic on areas of forested wetlands to get a better idea of the most effective ways to protect an important natural and cultural resource. Angela Wapochik is a PhD student in forest and wildlife ecology at UW-Madison and a research forester for the Menominee Tribal Enterprises. She's currently monitoring a forest wetland research project in the Menominee and Stockbridge Muncie tribal lands near Kashina in northern Wisconsin. I talked to her about her work yesterday. Angela, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Can you tell us about the kind of woodlands you're studying, first of all?
Sure. So my research as a student at UW, I'm looking at black ash dominant wetlands. So particularly I study wetlands that are on the two tribal reservations that I belong to, on the Menominee Indian Reservation and the Stockbridge Muncie Reservation. So largely our wetlands are mixed species wetlands, forested wetlands, with black ash and red maple, birch, and other species.
And you mentioned the key word there, ash. Among other threats, we have these emerald ash borers. Is that part of why you're particularly interested in this ecosystem?
It is. So prior to returning to graduate school, I worked as a wetland specialist, and my job was to manage wetlands. And I became particularly fond of forested wetlands just because that's the dominant wetland in my tribal community. So I think many of us come to learn and experience the presence of emerald ash borer and the loss of white ash and green ash in our yards and golf courses and similar. But for black ash and forest wetland systems, the impacts from emerald ash borer are going to be much more devastating, in that, you know, the hydrology is going to change and that we don't know really what the impacts are going to be across the landscape.
Before we look into the details of how you are studying this, what is your big picture goal with the kinds of monitoring you're doing?
What I'd like to do is deliver a set of strategies to these tribal programs that manage our forests, and deliver a set of strategies that are going to be implementable, that are reasonable, and that we can actually make some progress with adaptive management.
One of the techniques you're using, I understand, is bioacoustic monitoring. So the sound of the forest. What is that, and what does it tell us?
Sure. So birds, insects, amphibians, and what my community referred to as creepers and crawlers, they all make sounds. And these sounds are picked up by recording devices. And we assess them, and they provide insight about the biodiversity and the health of the forest. So for these two tribes that manage a forest, and their goals include, you know, protecting biodiversity, this tool can be used beyond the focus of just managing black ash systems, which is my focus. But we can use them long-term to determine, you know, the health of our entire forest. So in my research, I began to learn how to use this monitoring, but also I'm hoping that maybe the tribes can continue to use this, and we can collect these sounds to detect changes in our forest health. And it's an effective way to determine the effectiveness of how we manage our forest.
That's interesting. But I understand that's not the only kind of monitoring you're doing. What else do you do apart from being in the forest? What other kinds of monitoring do you have in place?
Sure. So another type of monitoring I do is sap flux density. And what I'm doing there is I'm measuring whole tree water use. And I hope within these areas that I'm monitoring within both tribal forests that I can determine the whole tree water use and scale these measurements to determine the entire stand water use in these forest ecosystems. So what I do is I have these little homemade small sensors that are set into the tissues of the tree. And the two probes, I'm able to measure the difference in heat or temperature between the two probes, and that can help me determine how much sap flow is running through the tissues of the tree. And that role of the and that will tell me the role of the individual tree in that particular stand. So how is that helpful? Then it helps me determine the water cycle or the water budget of these systems, and I can determine perhaps what areas we expect that are gonna have the largest change in hydrology.
You said these are homemade sensors. You're building your own tools here?
I am.
Cool. Now, I understand you had a team ready to help you in 2020, and then 2020 happened, COVID. You had to recruit some help from very close to home, inside your own home, right?
I did. At the time, my son was 16. I had partners with the Forest Service and other undergraduates here at UW that were set to help, and you know, travel restrictions has prevented that. And I had no, you know, I put in months of work and preparing for my field season, and I wasn't about to let that go. So my husband and my son actually stepped to the plate and helped me set up my sights, and it took a little bit longer, but we were successful. And in doing so, you know, I trained a field hand, and you know, this was 2 years ago, and even this year, my son now is a full-time technician working on my project.
Now, I mentioned ash borers as one of the threats facing this ecosystem. I know a lot of ecosystems are threatened by various kinds of human development. Is that a problem with these kind of forest wetlands that you're working in?
So the difference, so we can put a label on forested wetlands, you know, and based on the species composition or the hydrology, and whatever system we use to classify these systems is appropriate. And we expect that these certain classification that these wetlands are function similarly, but the individual site dynamics are important. And just like people, forested wetlands have their own characteristics and quirks. And what I see in my project sites is that current management and historical land use definitely have a big control on the site hydrology. And I have to account for how we use the land around surrounding these systems for the response. And largely, and the end goal is, you know, I want to determine and prioritize areas to manage. So if there's ways that impact or how we use the land impacts the hydrology, you know, maybe some sites aren't going to be as suitable for management as others.
And I understand you're hoping to educate not just policymakers, but us in the general public, too, about the importance of these ecosystems. What are you hoping the rest of us can learn from your work?
Sure. As a previous natural resource manager, I think one of the largest frustrations I had was that I would prepare management plans or project plans, and I wanted the tribal community or even the larger community to read these plans and provide me feedback. And that, you know, largely wasn't the case. And I'm really hoping maybe through my graduate career, I find strategies that I can share how we manage our resources, and people are more invested in how we manage their resources because they're using these resources. So that is something I'm working on. I don't know the answer, but I definitely want the tribal community to be more engaged in how we manage their resources.
Angela, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for sharing your work with us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
That was Angela Wapachik, a PhD student in forest and wildlife ecology at UW-Madison and a research forester for Menominee Tribal Enterprises. She's currently monitoring a forest wetland research project in the Menominee and Stockbridge-Munsee tribal lands.